The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I love how you greet me with such a high pitch. Hi.
I know, and then it gets all
deep. Does that mean you love me, I think?
Of course,
right?
Of course.
How's everything on your end?
Everything is good.
Yeah?
Everything is good. Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Talk Scary to Me.
Woo! We are excited to be back. Honestly, guys, thank you guys so much for all the love.
Yes,
truly.
I love the questions, the suggestions. I found a lot of true crime stories that I had never heard of before, thanks to
Oh, really?
People.
You've just been like in a pool of crime stories.
I can't stop watching.
I love that.
And you know, I love documentaries too, so I'm like, I don't want it all to be around documentaries, but I love to see the people and hear their voices and like really get, you know, involved in it.
I've been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts just to kind of like get the vibe and see what other podcasts are doing that we could possibly bring into
What did you think we could improve
I
on?
Just was, you know, what I was imagining, I like ours because I could not imagine talking about one case for 45 minutes to an hour.
And in a very depressing, heavy, intense way.
Yeah. Like, it's we have like the fun lightness in the beginning and then we go to it. And kind of like
it balances
it
off.
It does.
You know, I don't want to start my day with just that.
It's like if I was just to do horror movies all the time.
Wait, don't you?
No.
Oh, wait, no, that's me. Sorry. That's my career.
I don't know how you don't like get stressed out.
I do.
Okay, shit. How long does it take you to like recover from one?
I usually get sick like the day or two after I wrap.
Okay.
You know, you're like, hold it all together, and then like I end up with the flu or some cold
or
something.
Wow, so you physically
get sick. 100%.
Wow.
It's almost like I think growing up as a kid in the business, you're like, you can't get sick, you can't get, like when real people with real jobs get to not go to work because they're sick, it's like, I don't understand how that, because we have to go to work when we're sick.
Yeah, we have to, and you can tell. It's so funny. Whenever I watch a movie, I can tell
when
the person has a cold.
100%.
I'm like, your voice
sounds
sick.
They've got a cold. They're sick.
Completely different.
Yes.
And acting when you have a cold is one of the hardest fucking things to do. I hate when my ears clog and I can't hear the other person.
Right.
And then I have to create a fucking emotion right now.
I sound a little low. You guys turn me up a little bit. Either I have a cold and I can't hear anything. Oh, yes.
There it is.
Do you know the first day that I worked on Rob Zombie's Halloween, I was sick?
Really?
Super sick. Carrying
what was the
pumpkin across the street with Lindsay.
Oh, that was your first scene?
That was my first scene.
Oh, crazy.
And when the dude that I ended up getting my Letterman jacket back from, like the fan that I got it from, my hauls from when I was sick from that first day of shooting were still in the pocket of the Letterman jacket.
Oh, I think you've told me
even like one that was like half sucked on that I wrapped up because I was like, oh, don't cough.
That man was like, damn it.
Gross.
I didn't check the pockets. eBay.
He probably did and had sucked on the.
Oh my God. Now you're getting more detailed. I think you were the cause of a lot of people getting sick on the
Shut up.
Well, now that you just confessed that you were the first person, the first day you were sick,
I wasn't around anybody.
Dee and I got sick.
Oh.
We got like really sick a week into filming.
But I didn't have any scenes with you that day.
Okay.
I think I
did
just.
You see Dee?
No.
I think I just
brought Lindsay to the door at night.
Oh, at night.
Across the street with the pumpkin.
Okay. Dee Wallace and myself, we were so sick. The scene that we were doing in front of the house.
On the porch, right?
On the porch. We were very, very sick. And I felt so bad. And we were like kind of pointing the finger at each other. You got me sick. No, you got me sick.
Oh, I got you sick.
Oh,
sorry.
So funny. Oh, my God. Well, guys, a lot of you guys have been asking because, you know, in prior episodes before I opened up about depression and anxiety and everybody was like making sure that I was okay and reaching out and saying, you know, thank you for opening up about that because now I don't feel so alone. And I think that's amazing. I started journaling.
Good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, man. And it's kind of helped me. I've never been like a journal. Like right. I've never been that type of person. But my guy got me a journal and I started doing that. And it helped me a lot.
Wonderful.
But yes, I am okay, guys. I promise I'm okay. We just go through these times that are yes. tough sometimes. And thank you for everybody that's reached out to me. And I'm trying to answer everybody. But yes, you still are not alone. We love you guys.
Yeah. Listen, I'm all for Prozac.
Oh, yeah. Give me it. Pop it in.
Yes. I'm all for therapy.
IV.
Therapy and meds and mental health. And yeah. it's really important.
Do you still do therapy?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't done therapy
every Tuesday
in a
11
while.
O'clock. Oh, my God. I love my therapist.
I think I'm going to go back to seeing a therapist. I think it's because, you know, with like my childhood and stuff, I've had to do it since I was a kid.
It's different when you're an adult and you're yeah. choosing to do it.
I did it like I always end up going to a therapist when I'm getting out of a relationship.
Sure.
But it shouldn't be the case.
No.
I should go.
It's not to fix
for,
it
yes,
for you.
For me. Not
my therapist
for
always
else.
Said, like, when couples come in for therapy and they're not married, it's because one of the partners wants the therapist to tell them that they need to break up.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Get out.
That's what she said.
Oh, wow. I wonder if it helps. Have you and your husband ever gone
We
to
did.
Therapy?
We've gone once to my therapist. And then once to a couples therapist.
Okay, what's the difference? Like, did you notice a difference?
Of course, I want him to come to mine because she's on my side.
Yes,
you need like someone that doesn't know, you know. But I feel like she knows him so well, but she knows him from my perspective,
which is not good.
It's
you
not.
Need both sto-
you need both sides.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what did you find? The couple therapist, like, how did it help you guys?
That's the too only personal. Thing that really. Like that we went over, I think, and that it's been a while. It was like before we even had kids, I think. It was only one time too. I wanted to go back. Maybe it was twice. The only thing that we really took from that session that I just brought up again recently was, can we, like, you know, you have homework. And it's like the one homework thing that we got was, can we try to be affectionate with each other without it being a sexual intention?
Okay.
Because I'm not as affectionate as he is. But he's not affectionate because I'm not affectionate. But we're
makes
both
sense.
Very loving people.
That makes sense. That makes
so,
sense.
So like when I do give him affection or when it's like, you know, I sometimes just want to snuggle up and feel protected and loved. But usually it's like he, you know, the man's like, oh, or my man thinks like, oh, I'm going to get, this is like foreplay. This is like going to get some.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you hug each other or touch each other without it being sexual, without it leading or thinking like it's going to have to lead to that if you're not maybe feeling it that time?
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else has had that situation, but
I'm
it's
sure.
like, can you just lay there with each other and not have it turn into something that ends up being in sex?
I mean, yes, for me.
For you.
I'm a very touchy person.
Right.
Like, even when we're sleeping, like, he needs to be holding my foot or my foot needs to be, like, somewhere. Yeah, it's something like that. Even I woke up this morning and I was like, you weren't touching me.
Oh, my
and he was
God.
Like, I was like, why weren't you didn't even, like, you were, there was no foot. There was nothing. I was like, not even when he moved around, there was nothing.
Oh, my God.
Because we are so like that, you know.
Right,
right. And when we watch movies, he's on one side. Well, right now, because he's, like, healing. Normally, we're, like, side by side
right.
on the couch with each other. But now he's, like, you know, at the other end of the couch and I'm at the other end and our legs are just like intertwined with each other
right.
and he's massaging my feet.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
We
yeah,
we are
see,
super.
That,
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's not, I'm like, massaging, don't touch
and
my
I'm
feet.
I'm just imagining you and, you and
you
David
face.
Like on two cushions just like sitting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Much.
See, I can imagine. I could not. That would be a deal breaker for me. If somebody, it's interesting because if somebody.
But we're touchy feely.
Yeah. But I like, you know, that needs to be like the main, you know. Like touchy
my
love,
husband cannot.
Cuddles.
He just cannot touch me without him wanting to have sex. It's. I'm serious. So I have to just stay away. Unless,
well, that's
unless
a great
it's
problem. That's
unless
so
it's
good.
Time, you know. And then you're like, okay, cool, whatever. Oh, but yeah, for sure, it's
I
like,
love
how
that.
Do you balance
insight?
That out?
Insight, and everybody's different. Every relationship is different.
Totally different.
I mean, ours is like, do you want to have sex? Is this it? I don't know. Is this? Right?
Oh my God. I mean, he used to walk by me. He doesn't do it as much anymore, but would walk by me and, like, he would, like, slip his finger, like, between the crack of my butt from behind. And it was, you know,
like a, I don't know why, just like what popped in my brain was like a cowboy, like walking through.
Pretty, exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Oh, wow.
But I would be like, ah, don't do that. Like, it freaks me out, you know, like I'm like doing the dishes or something.
Well, you do have a great butt. So oh, maybe thanks. That's why. Thanks. I mean, it is a butt.
It's
so,
a
yeah,
big
I get
butt
it.
Right now.
I
too,
get
that's
it.
For sure.
Oh, my God. I just stick my fingers in Tom's butt when he's walking. I just go, bah.
Well, maybe that's why you're not getting any. That's not hot. He's like, if you did that to me, I'd punch you.
Oh, there's a playful relationship over here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, we actually just started. This is going to – we've already talked about farting and all that stuff.
Oh, God.
I tooted in front of the other day.
Purposely?
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fucking, like, walk away. And I thought it was going to be like a little, you know, silent, but it just made a little thing. And then he was like, he's like, you did it. And I was like, I did it. It's like, oh my God, you did
it.
Oh
no,
it. Like,
now
it
it's
like,
game on
we
though.
We celebrated. No, it was just nice. Man, dude, it's sometimes it's hard to like, you know, my stomach hurts.
Go out
like.
Of the room. I'm not, I am. There are some things that do not need to be shared with your partner.
I mean, no, I'm not going to go I don't do that often, but you know, it was interesting to like have that.
Do you
that.
Tell him like, I'm going to the bathroom? Like,
yeah, we use meditate.
Oh, you say I'm going to
meditate.
Meditate.
It's our meditation time.
Okay.
I turn on the bathtub. I like.
Oh, but
I
you'll
love,
fart in front of him? Are you insane?
On an accident. It was an accident thing. But it was our first time of me farting. Okay, guys? Have you never farted in front of your partner on
no.
accident?
No.
Bitch.
No.
By the way, everybody loves when I go, bitch. It's going to be our new slogan. Bitch, tell me the truth.
They like when you call them, when you say honey or love, or there was like something else too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Baby. Yeah.
Baby. Come on.
No.
Never?
One time on accident.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, mine was accident too, but it was just like
but
our
that wasn't
aha
like a
moment.
Okay, now I've done it, so it's okay. It was, oh God, that was embarrassing. I'll never do that again. And
oh,
it was
really?
Honestly, he was cracking my back. I was laying on the floor.
Oh, that's right. You
and he was cracking
that.
My back
you
for me. And he just pushed my low back. And it was like, oh God, so
well,
embarrassing.
That's why I'm always nervous when I get massages too, that I'm going to toot.
I wonder if anybody, we should ask a massage therapist if they've ever had that happen.
Oh my, I'm sure they have worse.
But then you're like stuck in a little room.
You know what? I just you got know? A massage. The other day, and it sounded like someone in the room next to me was getting more than a massage.
Oh, really?
And I didn't know that they did that here very often. I mean,
well, you're a girl. I mean, maybe men. You
no,
know,
it was a woman.
Wait, there's a website. There's
really?
Like a website or like an app or something that tells you which. Salon, which places give happy endings?
Get the fuck out!
I swear to God,
but that's not legal, right?
Of course not.
Then why? Then how it's do they like, have a website? It's like, hey, you wanna me to jerk
I think
you
it's
off?
Like guys that like post like a secret little
wow.
something like, hey, you can get that here.
Holy shit!
Hey, anybody, if you got, I want to know if anyone that's listening has ever had a happy ending yet.
Oh well, dude, I filmed in Thailand and half,
oh well, yeah,
half
I'm
the
sure.
crew were like,
yeah, oh,
we
I'm
knew
sure.
it, we knew it when they came home. I was like, Kevin, he's like, yeah, fourth time this week. I was
oh
like,
my
Jesus
God,
Christ.
Jesus!
I was like, well, you're relaxed,
but
I'm tense.
It's just a hand job, so. I don't know why that's such a big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, but it's different for women. We can't
oh, yeah,
give a
no,
massage.
No, no.
It's
yeah.
like, you know.
Yeah, no. What's going
to
happen?
I
yeah.
can't, you know. And a lot of people don't know how to fucking do it right.
Yeah,
like
no.
that just sounds like a miserable time.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there women that go and do that, guys? Can you ask, can you answer that question? I wonder.
I wonder.
Would you?
No.
Bitch.
By who? By. Gross. No, no, no.
No, I wouldn't either.
No.
I wouldn't. Unless there's like a menu and they all look like Brad Pitt and like Patrick Swayze, like boned and had a beautiful baby.
But
I single.
I do only get massages from men though.
Me too. Oh, I have
yeah.
to have deep tissue
yeah,
rough hands.
I can't do
women's
this chicks.
Hands are
no.
too bony.
Yeah,
man.
I don't like it.
I agree. And then they whisper like, is it okay?
Oh yeah.
No, harder.
Yeah.
Is it okay? No, harder.
You're like, let me know if the pressure's too strong. You're like, I barely feel you tickling me. Bitch.
I
and
barely.
Don't dig your elbows into me because your hands aren't strong enough.
Yeah.
Please. You're killing me.
Do you
me.
Know a funny story actually? And then we'll get into the more sex talk here. and I don't, I think I've shared this to you before. You know those, but like those like vans that are at the side of the road that say like topless maids?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so my buddy, did I tell you this? My buddy ordered one. One day, he ordered, and I always wondered.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they do. They come in, and they, like, they take off their
tops.
Do
they really clean the house, though?
So they don't. They don't clean the house.
What?
They
don't clean the house. They just sit there?
I think you're paying for, like, something, some fun time. But my buddy was like, my buddy literally handed him the cleaning supplies, and the women looked down at it and were like, the fuck do you want me to do with that? They're like... We want you to clean. You got to clean. Topless. But the women were like in shock, apparently, that that's what he wanted to have happen. It was so – I just was cracking
up.
Oh,
my God.
When I heard that, I was cracking up.
Have you ever been violated when you're getting a massage?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yes, by a woman, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I like when, like, my butt's massaged. It's really, really nice. But sometimes, one woman,
but their
like.
Fingers, like, slip in there sometimes.
Yeah,
don't they
get into your butt crack.
Well, I don't know. I've had them get into other areas.
Me too. Me too. Sometimes when they, like, spread your legs or whatever and they're going, to, like,
yeah.
I just don't.
Like,
don't
I don't really need
there.
Your finger to be
don't
swiping
touch, don't
over
touch
there.
There. Yeah. No, or when I go to the Korean spas too.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm getting a
scrub
down.
Oh, but that's
down.
Different.
I'm like,
that's different.
She's like, oh, you haven't been scrubbed down in a while.
Olympic spa. We should go to Olympic spa together. It's
I
my
would
favorite.
Love to.
Oh my God. I'm like, it's been closed for so long. So maybe now it'll be, it's open.
I
know it's open now.
I wonder. I know all these masks.
You guys, Korean spa, if you've never been to a Korean spa, it's so not spa like, but it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You're just naked. You're not allowed to work. You wear a teeny tiny little towel, but you don't even use it.
You don't use it. You walk
and
around nude.
You're put on like a slab, like a rubber bed thing, and you're fucking bucketed down with warm water.
And you're scrubbed aggressively. And
yes,
you're literally
everywhere.
Moved around like an animal. This woman doesn't
this
care.
Side, this side. I've had it a couple times after I've like had a baby, and it was very, it was like I had to say like, don't like, please.
Yeah,
like,
that's
trauma,
too rough.
Trauma.
Oy.
But you know, after having a baby carrying for 10 months, you can't lay in your belly. You're like, oh, just give it to me.
Really? Can you not?
How are you going to lay in your
belly?
Wow,
I have so. Oh, I thought after.
Oh, after, yeah.
Okay.
That's the first
I thought
thing
after,
you're going
to
do.
I was like, what?
No.
I was like, that's how I sleep. I'm
after
a,
that
I'm
baby comes
sleeper.
Out, yeah, me too. So after that baby comes out, you're like give me on my stomach.
Aww,
it's so
I love
good.
That.
All right,
let's,
give me some questions.
Let's talk. Okay, cool. So I have one that I thought was super interesting, and I just want to help out this girl. Okay. Jocelyn is her name, so it's a little bit wordy. She DM'd us. She goes, hey, ladies, first off, I'm such a huge fan, and I love you both. Danielle, it was a pleasure meeting you in Anaheim back in October. So I have a question about love. I guess you can say I met this guy, I asked him out, and when I took a solo Disney trip and he was working there, mind you, I have a ton of social anxiety and this is not something I normally do, but there was just something about him I could not ignore. We've gone on 2 dates and we've had so much in common and he's given me signs that he really likes me. However, I get mixed signals. He takes weeks to talk or respond to me, and I'm always the one who initiates the conversation. He says promising things about wanting to see me again, but then I feel like I'm being ghosted. He'll apologize when he does this, but I feel like there's not much effort, and I don't want to continue initiating the conversation in fear that I'm being annoying or something. He explained he got a lot going on and his mom being sick and he has school and work, which I can understand, but I still feel like he could be a little better at communicating. This is embarrassing to admit, but I am 27 and never had a serious relationship, only hookups, but I actually like this guy, so I want to do things the right way. He has not initiated anything sexual. Rather, he's been really respectful, which gives me a sign that he's not looking for a hookup. But I feel so new to the dating world.
So what I've learned is if a guy really likes you, he's going to go after you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to call. Mm-hmm. You don't need to pursue. You don't need to push it. If they want it, they come get it.
Yes.
And
there's
no
excuse.
There's no excuses. No. No, if he wants you, he'll come get you. So I think you need to move on.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Dating is not that hard. No. You will be able to tell if someone is into you, someone wants to pursue a relationship.
Because they do.
Yes. And this bullshit of apology.
Yeah, no.
And then repeating the action. Jocelyn, would you do that to someone?
That you liked?
Yeah.
No,
it's plain and simple.
It's hard as the girl because you don't know what your role, like if you should be the one to make those calls and to make that happen. You know, I was the aggressor, but
yeah.
If it's not reciprocated and they're not coming through, then it's peace out.
Yeah. And this is, a lot of these questions were kind of similar to Jocelyn's. I feel like one tool that I have that I've used, that I've learned to use, is literally swipping, like putting my body in that person's shoes.
Did you say swipping?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why. I created a word, guys. Hey, guys, swipping.
Swipping. So what does it mean? What does swipping mean?
I don't fucking know, bitch. I was trying to say switch, I think is what I was trying to say. Put yourself in those people's shoes. Would you do that to somebody? Would you do that to this person?
No, exactly. But listen, Jocelyn, we've all done it and continued to do it time and time again until I found my partner that was like showed up all the time, and that's why I got married. I was like, wait, you do what you say and say what you do. Like, I'm so confused at that you're like showing up. I always thought like I had to, you know, push it a little bit or make it happen or make them want me or make them like me. And it's like, no,
I don't know where. I mean, I feel like that's like a common thing now. It's like people are like that, and like it's so casual now.
Yeah,
I haven't heard too many success stories with like actual like relationships.
Yeah,
there's so much like dating apps, and there's so much now just confusing. Given to us. Yeah. And I think at 27, I mean, don't let that get you down. It's changed a lot.
It has, yeah.
But when you find that person,
yeah, it's not going to be hard.
Exactly.
It's not difficult when you're with the right person. It's work sometimes, but it falls into place. Mm-hmm. It isn't, there shouldn't be like, I don't know what to do. Does he like me? Does she like me? They're doing, you know, if there's questions this early, it's usually not your person. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. There's going to be plenty of fish.
I was talking to someone the other day that is in his 50s and divorced and has kids and new to the dating world, and how, I mean, I can't even imagine how you navigate that after being married for so long, you know? And he said to me, because he took a girlfriend of mine out on a date. I set them up and they went and had sushi, and it just wasn't a match, but that's okay. And they had a really nice time, but it just wasn't a thing. So when I talked the other day, he's like, oh, I never talked to you about how it went with her and blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, a lot of my friends when I told them I took her to sushi, they were like, what? What? Wait, why did you do that? Like, that's not what you do on a first date. You don't even know if you like the person. Like, you go get coffee or a drink or something. You don't want to take them to sushi and spend all that money to like not be interested.
Oh my God.
I was like, no, 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 no. I don't know who's giving you that advice, but don't you dare take my 44-year-old girlfriend for fucking coffee.
Coffee.
Like, I'm sorry. Are we 17?
Does it seem like a lot of single men that are older are kind of going by different rules now? Like they're in their tweens?
Like they're retarded?
I was going to say that.
I love that word, I don't mean it like that. But
with like dating, yeah. I mean, it seems like it's more laxed. It's more laxed.
But it shouldn't be. If you're dating a woman.
But not respectful. Too lax.
Yeah, of course.
Like, bro, come over and I've got like five dudes and we're smoking a joint.
Pretty much.
There it is.
Pretty much.
Huh.
Is that our fault though?
Maybe it is.
Did we make it okay? We made it okay.
We made it okay. It is. I trust me. I'm the cool fucking girl anything.
Yeah, me too.
We're the cool
girls. But that's
girls.
Not really what you want.
No.
You don't really want to be the cool girl.
But
you want for a guy to show up at your house.
Yeah.
The time that he says he's going to show up, on the day he says he's going to show up, and have reservations somewhere.
Yeah.
And go have a nice dinner. And you know what? Open the fucking door.
Yeah, like, my dude
does
that. I love
it. That's all you need. Like, that's what made me get married.
Yeah.
Was like, wait, he's here? It's 7 o'clock and there's a knock at my door? Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just come show up.
Yeah.
Come through. Be a good person. Put a little effort into it.
Yeah. But I think you're right. I think we have created it.
We think we have. It's okay.
and a lot of other things have created it as well. But I think if women, if this is what we want, I think we need to like say no to the invites that don't suit us.
That's true.
And vice versa, men, say no to the invitations that don't suit you.
Yeah, like, maybe just, if a girl like says, "Hey, you want to just come over and hang out?" Say, "Actually, maybe we can go out and get dinner." Like she would fall over.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were like, "Actually, I want to take you out. I'd love to go out somewhere and have a nice dinner." Like that would blow. It's the simplest thing that would fucking blow me away.
I'm thinking because when Tom and I first started dating, I mean, mind you, we met on Bumble, and it took me a month to see Tom. It took me a month.
But that's different. You don't know him yet.
Yeah, I didn't know him, so he kept on trying to hang out.
Yeah,
but he kept on trying to. Like he was, you know, working on a ranch, obviously, and he kept trying to get me to go out there. And I just like the first
come
time,
pick me up.
I don't want to go to a ranch ride a horse that I'm like.
Wait,
not
we
super
do true crime
with.
Stories, don't you know that you meet? Wait a minute,
yeah,
this
get
is
in
how
your car, go
start.
2 hours,
meet
to
a guy
ranch.
Online that is probably catfishing you to
the
go
pig
to
farmer.
A ranch and
killer.
Yeah, and then we're paying all this money to have the ground exhumed to look for your bones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, scout.
So
no,
then
scout.
I just went to his house for the first
date.
Oh,
that's nice. Oh my God, what the fuck's the matter with you? So, because you think you're like oh my
God. Pepper spray and a blade.
Did you?
Bitch. I had a pepper spray in one pocket. And a blade. I was ready. But I think my hands were in my pockets. I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna sit here just...
Oh my God, that's crazy.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're lying.
I'm just kidding. Oh. Actually, Tom bought me the first can of pepper spray I've ever had in my entire life. Oh my God, the next podcast, I will tell a very funny story.
Tell me your story because I have a funny story about a pepper spray.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
yes.
So, but how much time? We need time. Okay, so. Pepper spray stories, guys. So I was dating this girl, and I was very, very upfront with her.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm, you know, going through my sexuality right now. I'm not sure exactly what I want. I don't want anything serious.
Oh, that must have been like challenge accepted, bitch.
Yeah,
yeah,
true,
yeah.
Totally. She was like, you're gonna be mine.
Yeah,
and you know, I was telling her that I was seeing other people, and she let me rent out her guest house. So I was living in her guest house,
okay.
And then we were boning as well. So it was like a really mixed, really weird thing. So I ended up having to, I had a date with her that night.
Don't shit where you eat.
Bitch, I was doing that all my 20s.
Oh my God.
I was like, shit, eat too. Shit, eat too. And then I was running as fast as I could for the hills. I was like, guys, got directions. I need to get out of here. Anyways,
oh my God.
So I went to go hang out with my friend Skip, and no physical, nothing, like my friend.
Yeah.
And I was walking into Trader Joe's, and an employee was running out, and he was chasing someone, and he was just like a crazy ass spraying the pepper spray. And, you know, I felt some, like, you know, hit my body, but I didn't think anything of it. And we walked into the store, and Skip goes, "What's that on your fucking face?" And it's, like, just yellow everywhere. And I can see it in, like, the reflection of, like, the hot dog package. I was like, what is this? And I just, like, go and rub it off. And it gets in my fucking eyeballs. And I can't see anything.
Oh, God.
All Trader Joe's offered me was a water. Was a water bottle. That was it. I couldn't fucking see anything.
Oh, my God.
And then I had to call this girl and cancel my date. And she was like, "I hear you're with a guy. You could just be honest with me.
Oh,
you didn't have to come up with this pepper." And she's like, "I'm throwing your shit out." And I like can't see anything. She's like, "Come get your shit now." And I don't know her address. I just know like the landmarks of where to go.
But you live there.
Well, I was with Skip, so I had to get him. I had to get him in a car with my eyeballs closed and try to tell him to go.
To get your shit that was on fire in the yard.
And he was like, literally. And then we get there, and I can barely see, and there's just clothes being thrown at me. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening?
So what did we learn?
To shit where you eat.
Don't fuck your landlord.
Oh, damn it. I didn't know that was... I didn't know. I got some money off the rent, man.
Oh, wait, she charged you rent? What kind of shit is that? Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, wait, what?
Wait, that's not okay.
Oh, so I was paying her.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So I had a pepper spray on my keychain.
Okay.
I think I was like in my early 20s. And I was at the drugstore on Ventura and Laurel, like the Rite Aid or whatever, in that little corner there. And I had a bunch of stuff in my hands that I just gotten at the store. And I was getting into my car and I couldn't get my key in for some reason. This is back before. And this is so long ago. I don't think we had like, I don't even think I had one of those.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You're right.
I had a real key, if anyone knows what a fucking key is. So I went to put the key in and somehow, it's so ridiculous. I ended up spraying my pepper spray on myself in the parking lot, right in my face, because I was like, how do I get this in? I dropped all of the bags in the middle of the parking lot. I was like, oh my God, I can't see. And then I couldn't breathe. And then I was trying to find my way in back into Rite Aid to have help. Please, someone help me. And then God, and everyone's looking at me because
I'm screaming help?
Screaming
no
help.
No one was coming to you.
They're all staring at me.
Oh, Los Angeles people. Come on.
I'm in the parking lot. Like, the door to my Lexus is wide open. I've got fucking, tampons.
They're probably trying to get around you to get into your car.
Pretty much.
Like, dodge the blind
exactly.
woman.
Oh, my God.
Steal a car.
And I, like, went running in and was like, I can't see. I sprayed myself with pepper spray. Help me. Help me. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. It was horrible. I had to stick my head underneath a water fountain.
Yeah.
They were like, come. The cashier, like, helped me push it under the water fountain and, like, sat there for half an hour trying to get the shit out of my eyes. It's horrible.
It's horrible. It stays forever.
I've never carried pepper spray on my keychain since that day.
Shit. So maybe I shouldn't carry these peppers.
Not on your keychain.
Because I know I would. I know. Me also, too. It's complicated.
It's complicated.
The fucking thing doesn't look like, a spray bottle.
Yeah.
It's got a thing. I'm going to fucking spray myself. Yeah. I know I will.
It's not fun.
And who has time? Who
to
has
take
time?
It out and spray somebody?
Yeah. Like no. When you're being, you know what I'm saying?
No, just carry a knife. No, don't carry a knife. Just stay away from people.
Oh shit.
Stay away
from Danielle, y'all. Stay away from Danielle.
Hell yeah, stay away from
all me. Right. Okay, I wonder, do we have time for one more sex question or should we just hop on to the crime? We've kind of been going.
How much time do we have?
Oh, okay.
30.
Yeah, let's answer one more fun sex question that you have over there.
Okay, let me see. Oh, here we go. Okay. This is a question for you, Scout. Speaking of. Sure. Okay. So this, I'm not going to say her name just in case. So she says, dear Miss Harris and Miss Taylor Compton, do you prefer like Miss Compton, Miss Taylor Compton? Like,
you know, they put Taylor in there because, well, you know my real name, yeah. Desiree. They put Taylor in there because it sounded, well, it was Desiree, Star, San Diego, Compton. San Diego, because they're like, oh, it sounds too Spanish. So they were like, get rid of the Desiree Scout. Oh, Scout Compton.
Sam, what's your real last name?
San Diego. Well, no, it's Compton. San Diego is my mom. Compton's my dad.
Okay.
It was like
Desiree San Diego is Desiree. Yes.
Desiree, as they would say. But yeah, so they popped in Taylor there just because they were like, well, Scout Compton, that sounds too rough. You need to look you need to sound gentle. So they put Taylor in there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Miss Taylor Compton. Miss Compton.
Yes.
I don't know, even know how to say your last name again. So, San Diego. Okay, so she says, first, I've sent this email once. However, I believe it was incorrect to an incorrect email. So I'm sorry if this is a duplicate. Second, I want to say thank you both for putting this podcast out there and being so open. You both are amazing human beings. I recently met both of you at a convention and you both were so kind and attentive to your fans. We love our fans.
Oh, yeah.
You both have spoken openly about being with an individual of the same sex, whether it being just fooling around or further. Scout has even mentioned on the podcast about identifying as bisexual. I've struggled my entire life. I'm 30, so that's a long time. Mm-hmm. That's not a long time, girlfriend.
No.
With my sexuality. I am open with my close friends about being bisexual. However, I am still closeted to the majority of my family and to the public. The reason I'm still closeted is due to a very negative reaction by my parents when I initially came out to them in high school. Their reaction paired with being raised Catholic and conservative viewpoints by relatives made being open very difficult. The reaction by parents made me question myself and even hate myself, as that was their opinion of the situation. With that said, my question to both of you is, did either of you have someone respond in a negative or hateful way and when they found out about your choice to be with an individual of the same sex? If so, how or what was your response to these individuals? While I do not believe any of my family listened to the podcast, I prefer to remain anonymous due to the nature of the question. Thank you so much for putting this podcast out there and for potentially responding to my question.
Oh, man.
So did you ever have that discussion with your family?
You know, I did. You know, actually, my mom approached me when I was like 10 and she was like, you know, it's okay. I was like, well, it's okay. She's like, if you like girls, if you are a lesbian. She thought I was just a lesbian. Right. She just was like, you're a lesbian.
You were like, okay. What?
I was like, huh?
Maybe it's that scissoring like, you did with your her boss's daughter.
You knew about the kissing. You knew when I filmed a short. It's called After School Delight, where a girl. Yeah, I did the short for a school, and it was about this like 12-year-old who was a lesbian and was like discovering it with her best friend.
Okay.
Playing doctor.
Did you produce this?
No. I was 12.
Oh, wait.
I had to.
Someone asked you to do this?
So I did a lot of school.
Oh, I see.
Like,
right,
you know, little shorts and stuff. I did a lot of that when I was in my younger years just to get the experience.
Sure.
And I remember my character had to kiss the girl. And I had to do like a screen test with a bunch of girls. And I was the one that was comfortable. And I had to, you know.
Right.
And I think after I filmed that, my mom was like, hey, it's okay.
Right.
And I was like, no, I like both. And my mom was super supportive. My dad was so supportive. But I think I've opened up about this. I didn't know that my grandparents weren't okay with it. I mean, they never voiced it, but when
is your mom's parents or your dad's parents?
This is my mom's parents.
Okay.
Because I recently went over to visit them, and they were saying some kind of weird comments to, like, a commercial of, like, a gay person. Mm. And I was like – and I kind of was getting uncomfortable with it. And I finally just was like, do you remember that girl – I've told you this before. I was like, do you remember that girl that I brought for Christmas? That was my girlfriend. I was like,
good for you.
You know, I stood up for myself.
Right.
And it was fine. It was fine. It might not be something that they agree with.
Right.
But honestly, all I can say is we create our family.
Yeah.
You know, and that does help if you are in that situation where you feel like people around you might not agree or might give you a hard time. But honestly, what kind of fear is that to live in?
Is it anyone's fucking business?
Yeah, I feel
who
like...
Who you do or don't want
to
be with.
I feel like for you to feel better, you like, fuck it. Fuck it. That's what I say. Give a big fuck it. If you want to tell someone, they then you'll learn. If they
can choose to be in your life or not. But don't not be you and be with who you want to be with because of that. And as long as you're being true to yourself.
Yeah. And don't just because her family, right? Her parents. Yeah. Just because your family wasn't okay with it, your parents.
Yeah.
You might be surprised by some other people's opinion on it.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, now it's starting to become it like what it should have always been.
Yeah.
And I do hope that you have people around you. That was me. I think in my early, like when I was 18, when I first moved to LA, I was all up and down that lesbian scene because I didn't have that in my childhood. So I was like, I need to discover what this is and I need to create the people around me to figure out if this is me and who I am and be around people that are going through the same thing as me.
I guess I just don't, I get, it's hard for me to understand how you don't accept your children for who they are, no matter who they are.
I don't know.
You know? I don't know how it's – what's the big deal? Like, who cares if your kid is gay? What does it have to do with you?
It's just how they were raised, right and wrong. It's just a different era. It really is. I, honestly, with politics or anything, always what people say, it's their era. It's their era. It's their era. I'm like, fuck off.
I don't
like, get with the times, man.
I don't get it.
Get with the times.
It's like my brain literally can't compute. I did get a question from someone asking me how I would feel if I found out one of my sons was gay. And I was like, oh my God, that'd be fucking fabulous.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
What kind of weird question to like whatever they are.
Great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, listen, I had boys, I chose to have boys because I didn't want a daughter.
Yeah.
So if both my boys are gay and I have then have their husbands or their boyfriends, I got all four guys then.
Yeah, all the boys.
Fucking great. Who needs a daughter-in-law? Awesome. I don't want to deal with that bitch. I'm fine with my boys being gay. It'll be more fun for me. And they can still have kids and get married and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I want my kids to just be fucking happy.
Yeah.
I saw something the other day that was talking. I don't know where I saw it. I wish I could remember. That was, do you know how many weeks an average person lives in their lifetime?
No, don't scare me right now. I literally was thinking this morning, I was like, I don't want to die. I don't ever want to die.
Well, you're going to at some point, and that's okay.
Yeah. What is the average?
It was really shocking to me because we always talk about like living your best life, living every day and all that stuff. The average lifespan's like 79 years, 8 months, something like that. So if that's true, then we only live 4,000 weeks in our lifetime. Put that into perspective.
Holy balls.
That's not a lot.
No, that's not a lot.
4,000 weeks
so
in your entire lifetime.
So live your fucking life and fuck the people that don't want to be in it, girl.
Yeah. And listen,
done.
You know, I have family issues.
Same here.
You know, on my husband's side. And it's hard to, sometimes you're like perceived as the black sheep when you distance yourself from toxic relationships or people that are not accepting, or, you know, you can't choose your family, but you can choose who you choose to have in your family.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have that negative energy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's your parents, if it's your siblings, if it's your friends. Like, you know, it you get to a point where you're just like, I need to take care of me.
And when you get to that point too, I mean, of not caring about what other people think, you're going to feel
liberating.
So much better. Oh my God. It's going to be like you are taking the first step in your actual, like, life.
You'll find your group. Come. Yeah. We will take you in.
Yeah,
we
we'll take
it.
You.
We'll take you. We support you. We have your back, and just be happy.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
Just be happy. Okay, so now let's talk about some bad stuff.
Let's talk about bad stuff.
Let's get into it.
Ooh, I'm excited. What did you bring us?
Okay. So I've always been really interested in female serial killers or killers.
Yeah.
Because they're so much more fucking wicked. So women are fucking crazy.
Yeah,
guys are like, I tried to stick my dick in her, she freaked out, and I strangled her to death. And then I threw her in a ditch. Like, women are way, way.
I cut off your dick, I ate it, I put it in a blender, and I made a smoothie.
That's basically what happened here.
Oh, shit!
Similar.
Not my dreams, guys. Not my dreams.
So this is about this chick. I don't want to call her a chick. She's a dead monster.
Crazy ass.
Her name's Catherine Knight. Mm-hmm. A few of you wrote to me about looking her up, and I did not know her story. So it says how. So I'm going to read this. This is from allthat'sinteresting.com. I'm going to skip around a little bit because it's a bit lengthy. So okay. How Catherine Knight slaughtered her boyfriend and made him into stew.
Some witch shit right there.
So she was a slaughterhouse worker.
Damn.
Catherine Knight. She became the first woman in Australia to receive a life sentence without parole after she decapitated and cooked John Charles Thomas Price. So I'll read you this.
Okay.
Most lovers' quarrels end with an apology, but for Catherine Knight, murder and mutilation were the end result. Not only did this Australian abattoir, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Workers stab her lover with a butcher knife at least 37 times in February 2000. She then chopped him up, cooked him, and prepared to serve him to his own children.
Get the fuck out. Why do you bring the kids into it?
Because she's a crazy bitch. Wait till you see what she looks like too. She's
oh my God, I'm imagining so much stuff right now.
Even before this grisly killing, the life of Catherine Mary Knight was marked by violence and sexual abuse that only hinted at the bloodshed to come.
Mm.
She had a really bad childhood. She was, her father was a violent alcoholic who raped her mother multiple times a day. Knight herself claims that she was sexually assaulted by several family members until the age of 11. In school, Knight was known as a bully who terrorized smaller children without ever learning how to read or write. She quit at the age of 15 to work at a clothing factory. A year later, she landed her dream job at a slaughterhouse, cutting out the internal
dream
organs
job.
Of animals.
Dream job.
So journalist Peter Lalor wrote in Bloodstain, this is his true crime book that covered Catherine Knight, that she loved her job so much that she hung her first set of butcher knives over her bed just in case she ever wanted to use them. And eventually, she did. While working in the butcher shop, Knight met David Kellett, a raging alcoholic, much like her father, who was prone to fistfights. Used this kind of violence, Knight surprised her new beau when she joined him in one of his drunken scuffles. He soon realized, however, that Knight was capable of doing more than a little damage with her fists. Before long, he found himself being dominated by her. In 1974, she convinced him to marry her. He was heavily intoxicated the entire time, and her mother even warned him about her daughter's temper, saying that Knight had a screw loose somewhere.
Wow.
On their wedding night, Knight and Kellett consummated their marriage three times. Jesus.
When he fell asleep,
Knight wanted a fourth round and took issue with her new husband's exhaustion, so she started to strangle him.
Are you kidding me? This is on their wedding night?
Yep. And this isn't even the one she murdered.
Bitch, you can't fuck me.
This is like
four
her
times.
First marriage. Kellett woke up and managed to fight Knight off, even though she attempted to kill him only one day into their marriage. Their union lasted for more than 10 years.
Wow.
Their marriage, however, far from perfect. You don't say. Kellett was often unfaithful. I'm sorry. I would be like, whatever you say, ma'am. Whatever you say, ma'am. Whatever you say, ma'am. Like,
in
he
a
really,
corner,
I
shaking
mean, Jesus.
Like a chihuahua.
He once even left his wife and their two daughters in the middle of the night after discovering one of Kellett's affairs. Knight placed their two-month-old infant on the local train tracks shortly before a train was due. The train did not come and the infant was spared, and also threatened several people with a stolen axe. Stolen? Like, where did she need to steal one? She just go buy one. She was also diagnosed with postnatal depression after witnesses saw her violently pushing and swinging her second child in a stroller down a busy street. Pretty sure this was not postpartum depression.
No.
This is something much bigger than that, people.
Crazy.
She spent a few months in a psychiatric hospital where she told nurses that she intended to kill a mechanic who had fixed Kellett's car because that made it possible for him to leave her.
Was this prior?
This is before. This is her first husband.
How is this woman walking the street?
Yeah. She's not anymore. Despite his threat, Kellett took Knight back when she was released from the hospital. Their reunion didn't last long, and Knight went through a period of deep distress after Kellett finally did leave her. In 1986, shortly after breakup with Kellett, Catherine Knight jumped into a whirlwind romance with David Saunders, a local miner. This is guy number two. Mm-hmm. Within a few months, Saunders moved in with her and her two daughters. However, he kept his apartment. Knight became incredibly jealous and suspicious about what he did when she wasn't around. Like her previous relationships, this one grew quick, toxic, and violent. At one point, she slit the throat of his two-month-old dingo puppy in front of him just to show him what she was capable of.
Oh, my God.
Still, they stayed together and even had a daughter a year later. However, Saunders left Knight shortly after the birth because she had attempted to kill him with a pair of scissors. She then met a man named John Chillingworth. This is guy number four.
Yeah.
They stayed together for 3 years and had a child, Eric, Knight's first son. While no violent incidents had been reported about their relationship, it ended after Chillingworth learned that Knight was having an affair with a man named John Charles Thomas Price. The beginning of Catherine Knight and John Price's relationship was without complications. He had two older children who lived with him and seemed like Knight, and he made enough money as a minor to keep her comfortable. They moved in together in 1995, and things were going smoothly. However, when she suggested they marry and he declined, she turned violent. Knight framed Price for stealing things from his company and got him fired. Though he initially kicked her out, a few months later they started seeing each other again. However, this time he refused to let her move back in. According to their friends and neighbors, Knight's violence then began to escalate. In February 2000, an argument between John and Catherine culminated with her attempting to stab him in the chest. He took out a restraining order against her in an attempt to keep his children safe. Towards the end of the month, Price let on that he was concerned for his safety and told his coworkers that if he ever went missing, it was because Knight killed him.
Wow.
On February 29th, 2000, John Charles Thomas Price, this guy has a lot of names, like you, came home from work and followed his usual routine by checking in with the neighbors before going to bed at 11 o'clock. Knight came home shortly after, made herself dinner, watched TV, showered, went back upstairs. She woke Price and the two had sex, and then he went back to bed. Then Catherine Knight took a butcher knife from next to her bed, where she'd always kept them, and stabbed Price 37 times. According to evidence, he woke up during the attack, but he could not fight her off. He succumbed to his wounds, and Knight dragged his body downstairs, skinned him, and hung his body from a meat hook in the living room. Then
this is some Texas Chainsaw Massacre shit.
Crazy shit, right? Then she decapitated him and cut up pieces of his body to cook in a dish with potato, pumpkin, beets, zucchini, cabbage, squash, and gravy.
Mm, that sounds good, though.
She then made a dish for herself, though the half-discarded contents later found at the crime scene suggested that she couldn't finish her meal. She then laid down next to the headless, mutilated corpse of Price, took a large number of pills, and she passed out. Price's coworkers heeded his warning the next morning and called the police after he didn't show up for his shift. The police arrived to find Catherine Knight's gruesome crime scene and immediately detained the comatose Knight. Once she woke up, she claimed to have no memory of the night before. In the kitchen, police found Price's head boiling in a pot of vegetables on the stove. On the table, they found two full plates, each labeled with a name. In horror, the police realized that Knight had planned to serve John Price's body parts to his children.
Wow.
Despite her claims that she had no recollection of the night John Charles Thomas Price died, Catherine Knight was quickly charged with his murder. On October 2001, her trial commenced, but it did not get very far. For reasons that remain unclear, Knight changed her plea to guilty, and the judge adjourned her case without testimony. She was escorted to prison that day, and the judge ordered that her papers be marked never to be released. For the first time in history, a woman in Australia was given a life sentence without parole. To this day, Knight nevertheless maintains her innocence and refuses to accept responsibility for her actions. Catherine Knight has appealed her sentence before she was denied almost immediately. She's still serving her life sentence at Silver Waters Women's Correctional Center.
Dude.
Yeah.
How horrific
is that? You
want
to see what this bitch looks like?
Yeah, I do. But honestly... This is where I'm so confused. Oh, okay, that's what I pictured.
She's crazy.
That's what I pictured. She's I pictured crazy. That.
She's crazy.
There are so many things that this woman did.
Yeah.
Prior to all of this craziness.
Yeah. Why are we talking to each other?
Why wasn't this person locked up? But also went into like institutions. You said.
Yeah.
How is someone like this
continuously released?
Yes, released. I don't understand. And also, too, like...
She's obviously a good manipulator.
And she was abusive.
Yeah.
Men, if you're being abused by a woman...
Yeah, get out.
Fucking run.
Get out.
Women, if you're being abused by... Run.
Get out.
Just run. Yeah. When this shit happens, you need to go the opposite way. I mean, I don't know how, like, little small things can turn into... massive things like with like small abuse like oh well he just you know he didn't mean to hit me or he didn't
right.
Or she didn't mean to hit me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
run.
I mean, I thank God I've never been in a relationship like that.
Yeah,
but I always wonder if I was, it must be real. It women that are smart still stay out of fear.
Yeah,
so I don't know how you get out. I know there's help, but how, I don't know how you make that first move.
That's, I guess, what I'm saying. Because I was in a relationship that was abusive.
Mentally, physically?
Physically and mentally.
Physically.
And when you need to not be afraid of, like, reaching out to someone, I mean, it's probably what's going to save your life.
Yeah.
Luckily, I got out way before anything got super, super crazy. But who's, you know, not to say that person's gonna, whatever, but it could have like seriously injured me. It could have ended up in the hospital. And it's you know, no matter, you're so blind when you're in it. And it's like you're like led by.
Is it blind or is it fear?
Blind, fear, you know, I had my own issues of like, why don't you love me? You don't love me. You don't love me, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So like there's so many factors into it. That play, but I don't know why this fucking woman was walking the street in the first place. Like anybody that was close to this woman that knew her fascination with like knives and shit like that, and her obvious like attitude,
and her kids, like didn't her kids want to warn somebody or like try to get their mom help, or were they afraid of her?
Probably afraid.
They were afraid of her.
Probably.
I mean, who knows what she did to her children, you know?
Dude.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't get custody. Maybe the men got it. I mean, shit, I don't know. She's fucking crazy.
That is nuts. Well, on that note, guys.
Yeah, women are crazy. They kill much differently than men do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like way wicked.
I do find like women murder cases a little bit more interesting than men, I think, because they're so brutal.
They're so brutal. They're like, they're just vicious.
I mean, I feel like women, like it doesn't take, it takes us a lot to snap.
Yeah.
So I feel like.
Unless you're Catherine Knight.
Yeah.
That doesn't take much.
Beware, everybody.
He wouldn't marry me, so I'm going to cut his head off and boil his balls.
Oh, my God.
But she kept his skin on a meat hook in the living room. Like, she had everything perfect. Like, she took every... She, like, literally
skinned him. Well, that was her dream job. Her dream job was to work at, like, a... That's where I'm like, where do you get that?
Like, I read everything was perfect. Like, she literally just took... Like everything was perfectly done. I don't even know how you do that. It was meticulous.
Just imagine the smell. The smell, like the blood, like... I don't get it. I don't get it. And the more that I try to, like... understand how someone's capable of that. I just like.
Oh,
more
and on the I read
confused.
on plates like that were supposed to be served to his kids, were each was a side of his butt. It was like a slice of buttocks that was like meat, like a steak, a butt steak, was put on the plate.
Okay, but she knows how to skin an animal, yeah. So she knows what parts of the juicier
everything,
one. She
I
like
guess.
she just literally it was an animal to her. By that time, 100%. It was just
that's it.
It was her job. It was her work. What she did at work. Nuts. She was like, "Well, this is the everybody likes this part, so we're gonna put the." She clocked out.
She did.
Clocked out.
She did more than
And she fucking remembered that shit.
Of course she did.
Shut the fuck up.
I don't remember it.
I don't remember.
I was
happened.
Sleepwalking.
We talked about that too.
Yeah, I know. It don't work.
We don't believe you. So enjoy the rest of your life in prison, you crazy bitch.
Yeah. Throw away the keys.
Yes, I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, that poor man. Those poor kids.
No.
Those poor kids. Could you imagine?
No.
Like your mom. Who's your mom? Well, actually, we don't talk about mommy.
What happened to your dad? He died. How did he die?
Dude,
his girlfriend beheaded him and cooked him in stew and served me his tushy.
I mean, did he not see the signs of like her being complete? Like, this is where I'm having a little hard understanding because I feel like men would leave a relationship of a crazy woman.
Maybe they're well. I think some men like that shit, right?
Yeah,
men stay in abusive relationships too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a turn on erotic. Or, I mean, if she wants to fuck four times a day, that's probably why he stayed with her. Right?
Yeah, true, maybe.
It was as simple as that. If you saw it, he's not like he's getting any, like,
yeah. She was assertive, dominant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he worked all day and then he got sex when he got home.
Dude.
Except for this night.
So you wonder why he stayed. That's why he stayed.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Yes. Crazy. Well, thank you guys.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in these awesome cases,
yeah.
You guys. We love it. Now I'm going to go not chop up my husband. Unless he's very naughty.
I'm going to check on you, David, later.
I'm going to eat his ass, but not in that way.
Signing off. Bye, guys.
Bye.